Welcome to the Family Finance Show with Diana Granu, proudly brought to you by Old Mutual. This podcast is your weekly guide to effective budgeting, planning, and future-proofing of your family's finances. Because money matters to every family, and every family matters at Old Mutual. Enjoy the show.
My name is Diana, and this is the Family Finance Show, the podcast to help you manage your family's finances better. Every week, we share an episode on topics relating to increasing your family's income and managing expenses, controlling your debt, and investing for the future. Today on the Family Finance Show, my guest is Lindsay Henson, Executive Director at LVA. LVA is an organization that provides critical support for victims of gender-based violence in South Africa. Welcome to the show, Lindsay. So happy to be speaking to you today.
Thanks, Diana. Thanks so much for having me.
So before we speak about the work that you and your team do at LVA, Lindsay, I just wanted to talk a bit about giving money to charity for impact. So here in South Africa, we live in one of the most unequal societies in the world. We've got a few very rich people and millions of people living either in poverty or pretty close to poverty. And this has all been made worse by the global health pandemic, which has led to further unemployment in South Africa. So when I see all of this, I want to do something to help the people that need it, but I often struggle to know how to do this in a way that makes the biggest impact. So what do you suggest when it comes to giving money to charity for greatest impact?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really important to, I think that's just like as a first point, to just to really identify what is it that you're passionate about as an individual. So as you've said, you know, there are a lot of really worthwhile causes and organizations doing great work across a number of different sectors. So, you know, to find an organization that you think is making an impact or has the greatest need or is maybe using a specific approach. And you can do that a number of ways. I mean, you could even do it just a simple Google search. So you can put in, you know, if you're interested in education, you can put in NGO Education Johannesburg, and you'll get a number of, you know, websites of NGOs working in the education sector. And then you can read a little bit more about those organizations. And then from there, it's just a matter of reaching out. So, you know, look at the contact details, send the organization an email, give a little bit of background information about yourself, and maybe think more critically about how is it that you'd like to get involved. So I think just kind of at a high level, that's a really great way to get involved with organizations and to provide support where they really need it.
Lindsay, can you share any good resources with listeners if they want to connect with organizations that are doing good out there?
Definitely. So there's a really great platform called For Good. So F-O-R Good, you know, G-O-O-D. And the way that For Good works is it is exactly that. It's a platform to try and connect just individuals, regular individuals who want to get involved with the cause. And so the way that it works is organizations can register a need. And so then I post that need as LVA on the thing. I say, I'm looking for two volunteers to help me with X. And then as an individual, you can then, based on your own skills or maybe what you're interested in, you can go in and then filter, you know, by location, I'm looking at Johannesburg, and even by sector. So to say, you know, you want to work in the women's rights space, and that's the kind of organization you want to get involved with and the type of skill. And similarly for goods donations, so donating cleaning supplies or office supplies or Christmas hampers or food. And so that's just a way that you can go onto that website and you can kind of filter and search, and then you can already find it. It does a lot of the work for you. You can then find organizations who've already listed their needs. And then there's a way then through that website for you to then connect directly with the organization. So we use it quite a bit, and we've gotten a lot of like either volunteers or items donated in support of our work through that website and that platform. So it's just forgood.coza.
And how do you know if the charity is legitimate? So say you've chosen your cause, say it is gender-based violence, is something that you care about, and you find an organization online. You don't want your hard-earned after-tax money that you've saved to go to an organization that perhaps won't spend it so well. So what are some of the checks that you can do to make sure that this charity is legitimate?
you know, you can look to make sure that the organization is properly registered. So most organizations will be registered with the Department of Social Development as an NPO. And, you know, if you're looking to get a tax deduction as well, you need to make sure that those organizations are registered as a PBO, a public benefit organization, because only then are they able to actually issue you with what's called a Section 18A certificate. That is that you then submit taxes to the amount that you've donated deducted. But so I think that those are some pretty standard like registration documents that you should be able to ask, could you send me a copy? And most organizations either have them on their website or they could just easily send you a copy. You'd also just want to make sure that organizations have, you know, sound reporting structures in place, that there's a board of directors in place. And often a lot of this information is then you can find just website, but if it's not there and it's an organization that you want to contribute to, then to just ask them some of those questions, like who makes up your board? You know, what are the financial controls that you have in place? Those are worthwhile questions to ask. I think you also have to make sure that you're not overburdening the NGO, who probably, you know, has already a million things that they're doing. If you're planning to donate 100 Rand, even though every Rand helps, definitely, but to ask for, like to do all of this very thorough due diligence if you're making a small contribution, maybe isn't a good use of the NGO's time either.
Indeed. Yeah, there is a bit of a balancing act here. But say in the instance that you were hoping to give a fairly a substantial amount, would you also be able to claim that back as a tax benefit? Do you ask the NGO for some kind of certification?
Yeah, so you would need to just confirm before you make the contribution that the organization is registered as what's called a PBO, and it's only then that they're able to issue you with a Section 18A certificate. And then once you make the donation, they then provide you with the Section 18A certificate, and then you submit that certificate when you're filing your taxes to be able to claim that money back or to take it off of your taxable income.
And what about, you mentioned other things, you can give time, you can give goods, you can give many other things to charities, but I find it always disturbs me a bit when I see destitute people at robots, or for non-South Africans who are listening to the show, we call traffic lights robots. So at our traffic lights, sometimes there are people begging for money and in really, really desperate situations. And I always wondered to myself, is it better to give food here and there and to try and make a small impact, or is it better to save up all that money and donate to a large organization that's going to have a bigger impact? Do you have any views on that?
So I think that it is, at the end of the day, it's a personal choice. And some people would say, you know, yes, I can think that, you know, I'd rather something that has this greater impact, but, you know, for the person who's hungry now, you know, they may not have access to that organization. You know, there are a number of factors to consider. So I think choice, somebody may just say, look, you know, I just want to make sure that this person who's in front of me right now that I see every day at least has something to eat. And that's one way to get involved and to provide support. But as you've said, to save or even if you, you know, what I would encourage is to actually consider becoming like a monthly donor. Even if it's a small amount every month, it's really useful from an organizational perspective to know that you have a little bit of that guaranteed income, even though you obviously as a donor can end that donation at any time, you know, to be able to say, okay, you know, this person is donating 100 Rand every month. And then that also then obviously you get a lot of people each contributing their little bit every month on a regular and sustained basis. Obviously over time that has a tremendous impact.
And it helps as a charity to be able to plan your budget a bit better, to be able to pay salaries.
Exactly.
And other things.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Lindsay, let's talk a little bit about LVA then. So President Cyril Ramaphosa called gender-based violence South Africa's second pandemic, and it's certainly such a scourge that is ravaging our communities here. LVA was formed in response to this problem. How and when did you start this organization?
The organization was founded in 2011, and it was really founded in order to fill the gap between the way that the law was written on paper and the way that it was actually being implemented and experienced in communities by victims of violence. And so that was the initial vision of the organization, was to provide a community-based legal services center that would be able to help victims really access justice. And it's done through using an integrated approach. So it's not just the provision of legal services alone, but it's legal services that are then closely coupled with psychosocial support, therapy, and counseling. And also then working very closely with the state actors, all players who are responsible for ensuring, you know, victims have access to justice.
So Lindsay, you spoke about the state actors. Part of your job is holding them accountable. How do you go about doing that?
So what we do is we operate a walk-in center. And so our clients come to us and we provide them support with in criminal cases and in securing protection orders. And unfortunately, things don't always go the way that they're supposed to do. And so when in this process, we encounter, you know, instances of misconduct by state actors, we take steps in order to try and create accountability and hold those state actors accountable. So this is done, you know, through relationships with the state actors themselves, but also then working very closely with senior officials to make sure that they're informed. You know, we would submit formal reports, just alerting them of, you know, this is what's happened, and then following up with them to make sure how has this been rectified.
And Lindsay, because gender-based violence is so prevalent in South Africa, perhaps there are people listening to the show that are either victims themselves or know somebody in a family situation or any situation where there is a gender-based violence, intimate partner violence, all the forms of gender-based violence, child abuse going on. What would you suggest to people who know about such cases or who are in such a situation themselves? Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, so we offer what we call technical assistance. So for any victim of violence, just to contact somebody at our organization, and we will then advise on, you know, what are your legal rights, what are the legal remedies that you can access. And sometimes people will contact us. Maybe they've already tried to get a protection order, or maybe they've already opened a criminal case. They haven't gotten feedback from their investigating officer. They're not really quite sure what's going on in their criminal case. Then we can provide them with guidance, and then we advise them kind of what are the necessary steps to take, who must they speak to.
So Lindsay, my final question is one that I ask all my guests on the show, and I know you've recently become a new mother. Your child is only 9 months old, so perhaps not something that you've thought about yet, but what would be that one piece of financial advice that you would like to pass on to your child?
I would probably say just the importance of budgeting and having a proper budget, regardless of if you're managing a large amount of money or a small amount of money. I think just having that understanding of, you know, how are you spending your money, is just really having that understanding of, okay, I have, you know, X rand each month coming in. How is it I need this, you know, whatever, this much for this expense, this much for this expense, how much do I have left over? And it's really through that they can kind of plan for some long-term goals as well.
And that's exactly what we try to do here on the Family Finance Show, is just to help educate people about just those financial basics. So thank you so much for your time today on the show, Lindsay. And perhaps just as a way to part, you can just tell listeners where they can find out more about LVA.
So you can just Google, it's called Lawyers Against Abuse, the name of the organization. And so you can Google them, or our website is just www.lva.org.za. And you'll have all the contact information then through the website as well.
Great. Thanks so much for your time today, Lindsay.
Great. Cheers.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast to stay on the journey to improving your family's financial well-being.
Thank you for listening to the Family Finance Show with Diana Granu, proudly brought to you by Old Mutual. The time is now to own your financial future. Visit oldmutual.co.za for more great advice, articles, free budgeting tools and calculators, or to find a financial advisor. We'll be back next week.